In this week's Arts, my guest is Welsh writer James Stafford. He is the author of a wonderfully irreverent and striking webcomic called The Sorrowful Puto of Prague. The comic tells the story of a 400-year-old puto, or cherub, named Xavier. He lives in the city, and the story has captured the attention of both Czech and English speakers. After looking up the site myself, I was curious to learn more, and I was very happy that James Stafford, who is not usually based in Prague, was able to come into the studio. He begins first by talking about how the project came together.
Well, basically, I've always wanted to do a comic, and I've been coming to Prague now for 10 years, and I'm very much interested in the architecture and the art, and I love Baroque art especially. And if you go around anyone who's been to Prague, the city's full of putti or cherubs. And I've always been interested in the contrast between you get these beautiful little baby or kitsch, you know, tacky things, and they're, you know, in a picture with some saint being burnt alive or dragged to hell. You know, you have these, it's just a strange contrast. And I was looking for something to base a comic on in Prague, and I thought it was a kind of a symbol that's around Prague a lot. And I thought it would visually be very interesting to have a puto or a cherub doing something you wouldn't expect it to be doing. So I just kept seeing them, and they kept sticking out in my mind. So when I decided to do a comic about Prague, I just settled on that.
So if you take a puto or a cherub and you describe some of the characteristics there, did you go with type or against it with your main character?
So it depends on context. I decided to have this character that had been in Prague for 400 years, and I thought, you know, if you've been around Prague 400 years, you would have seen everything from empires, wars, communism, fascism. And the puto was almost incidental. Once I found a character, I wanted to do something you wouldn't expect with him. So it looks like this cute baby, you know, angelic thing. And I decided, you know, if you'd lived in Prague for 4 centuries, you'd probably be cynical. You'd probably be a drunk. You'd probably be a bit romantic too. And I like the idea of having this cynical 400-year-old character that looks like an innocent angelic baby. And there's lots of stories written we haven't done yet that is going to explore that kind of what it would actually be like to have all those experiences in Prague for so many years and to see so much and eventually, you know, and to deal with the boredom of it as well, you know. So I just like the visual contrast. I thought was interesting. It worked in a comic. It wouldn't necessarily work as a book or a novel, but I thought as a comic it would be an interesting contrast to work with.
Obviously, Baroque is a period that is very much associated with this city. Do you think that it's, say, an image or imagery that's overused at times?
Definitely, and that's partly what I wanted to play with. And I think people forget. What's interesting, when you first come to Prague, when I first did 10 years ago, you think it must be a very religious people and a very Catholic country. And obviously, you know, the Baroque was basically after, you know, the famous Battle of White Mountain. It was propaganda of the 16th, 17th century. So I think, and we will play with that, it is an overplayed image, and that's what I wanted to do, is have this character that people might think, oh, it's a very proud character to have or imagery. And then when you see the things he does or experiences. And also I made a point, the second issue, if anyone's read it, is set in Žižkov, in a communist housing block, is to take these Prague symbols and put them somewhere you don't expect. So it's not just Gothic Prague and Baroque Prague, but it's a city of many things. And that's why I love Prague so much. It isn't just Baroque, it's Gothic, it's social realism, it's Art Nouveau. So I think that's why he was such a good character to go with, is it twists the expectations. And if anyone's read the comic, the first sort of two pages probably look like how you'd expect it to look. And then you kind of get this change of something very mundane and very boring. You know, his foot stuck in a drain, or in the second series comic where he's in a housing block. And I think, again, that was why I was so attracted once I found that character. There's just so many contrasts you can play with. And Prague's very schizophrenic, you know, it has all sides, but it's obviously sold on the Baroque and Renaissance and things.
We will, of course, discuss the imagery of the comic itself. But before we do, I'd also still like to ask about how many names you went through before you hit upon the final one.
Xavier. Well, the first name, Xavier, or Xavier, again, depending what you want to say. I've always liked the name. And I forgot it was a big character in X-Men, which I've never really read. But I got it from a Saint Xavier. It's a statue on Charles Bridge. And I've always liked the X at the beginning of the name. And so I kind of... And then there was a famous rugby player who had that name. So I kind of, that was pretty easy. I liked the name. And the full name, Xavier of the Sorrowful Snows, comes from these Catholic churches you get, you know, like the church, the Lady of Our Snows, or the church of Our Lady of Victory, these kind of poetically Baroque names. So I like the word sorrowful. It's in a lot of Baroque art or some of the churches, and I like the word snows. So I kind of crossed these two church names together, and it sounded very deliberately overly poetic and obscure. So it was fairly quick. It was a combination of different phrases I kept hearing in Prague or saints I kept seeing. Mm-hmm. So that was how that came about.
What are some of the kinds of adventures or situations that he gets himself into or finds himself in?
Well, one of the exciting things, and again, I probably have a dozen stories written that we're working on to draw, but I wanted the 400-year time period to work with. And the first few issues are set in modern-day Prague. And relatively recently, there's one in the 70s where the communists find some kind of miraculous vision and they don't quite know what to do with it, so they destroy it because it doesn't help them in any way. So, but there's going to be things dealing with, in the long term, just after White Mountain. He's going to have a central kind of tragic role in that. But it also, there's going to be a future storyline where he's, you know, Prague's become in many ways a normal city. It's got his Burger King's, his McDonald's. There's a reference in the first story to how he has a day job in a supermarket. Because again, if you've been around 400 years, you know, you've got to do something with your time. And it's going to reflect on the mundaneness of modern cities. And the next story, which goes online in a few weeks, is kind of playing with the cliches of Malastrana and the ghosts and the legends. It's going to be a little bit of a twist on that. So I think it's going to be all sorts of things. And also I wanted to get Rudolf II in there somewhere, and he'll be coming up in the future. So I think there's just a whole cast of mythology to play with and to kind of twist it, not just to be golden Prague cliches, to play with it. And that's why I think it's such a exciting character to have that 400 years to play with.
All of these elements will be easily recognizable for Czechs, but you'll be able to cast them in a new light.
Yeah.
But of course, the comic is not just for Czechs. It's in English.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to get the balance, especially in the early issues, of having to play with these obvious cliches, the Golem. He's only been referenced shortly, but to have these obvious ones, anyone can. And also, there is a few subtle things that are little references or literary references that someone who really knows their Czech history or would pick up on. And I think it's striking the balance between playing with the obvious Prague legends that people would know, especially Czechs, and also bringing out some great obscure anecdotes I've come across over the years, or little tales that I want to kind of work on. So it's kind of trying to have the discipline to not rush in and use too much as well. So luckily, drawing comics is a slow process, so it's making me be patient. But it was very exciting.
It sounds like you're having fun with it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not uncommon, though, especially in the field of comics, for one person to be the writer, for somebody else to do the artwork.
Yeah, no, it's very common. And it's actually, I joke saying I'd like to draw, but I'm actually quite happy. I found the artist, AJ Bernardo, who's the main artist. We've had a guest artist too. But what's great, he's been doing comics for a few years, and he thinks visually. I like to think I'm thinking visually, but sometimes he just changes a panel. I write down the way I want it drawn and give him freedom to interpret, obviously. And sometimes he'll say to me, well, you know, why don't we make this two panels or make this one? And it's been really enjoyable because he's brought out certain things that I wouldn't have thought, or because it's telling stories with writing and visually is very different. And he has those skills I've never had. So it's also been a great collaboration, and I've really enjoyed. And it's amazing the difference changing the position of a character in a panel or just the way the hands are, to how much you can change a story or a feel. So it's been a good learning experience too, and I like to think I'm getting better at thinking like that too.
You actually led into my next question, which was, what is the collaborative effort like? Do you get surprised by some of the results? Maybe we could talk about a concrete example.
Yeah, well, the next issue example, it's set in Malastrana, and I won't give out too much away, but it's involving the ghost of a hanged man who hangs around Malastrana forever. No one can see him. He's bored for eternity, kind of hanging there. And I set up what I thought was a very nice panel description. I send the artist by email pictures I've taken in Prague or street references, and I lay out panel one will be a street, panel two, etc. And it's a very static imagery. It's this guy hanging off a lamppost, and that's all it is for most of the comic. So he was able to turn it into something very dynamic, and he, just by changing angles of the characters are coming from, or the way Xavier comes into shot that I would never have thought of, it gives it this very, it becomes a very atmospheric comic, very eerie. And the best one on page two, Xavier has wings, and he announces his arrival by a feather falling. So you see the feather falling before you see him. And it's something I wouldn't have thought of. And it really kind of added to the atmosphere. So those kind of things, he just comes back with a feather falling, and I'm very excited because I would never have thought of it.
That sounds clever.
Yeah, it's great, and it shows you how artists think compared to how people who write think. So those kind of things. When he sends me those emails, when I see that sketches, I run out of adjectives. So I write back saying how great it is. And
where is the artist based?
He's Filipino artist, and he's based in the Philippines. This is one of the exciting things with the internet. When I decided to do a comic, I had to find an artist, and I didn't know any. And I started hanging out on internet forums where you can advertise for or respond to things. And I had two false starts over a year and a half with artists I started with, and either they didn't finish or they didn't quite get the project. And I just did a few adverts on forums, nothing. And then suddenly I got an email from AJ, and it was a great response. It was a really funny response. And he got the comic. I could sense he got it. And I remember thinking when I opened his portfolio, please be able to draw, because you get some portfolios and, you know. And he knew exactly what, and I knew straight away he was the one I would love to work with. And luckily, because he does a lot of comics, and we've worked out a schedule to work together. And so, yeah, it's 10, 15 years ago, I don't know what I would have done, because I don't know how to find the comic book artist. So that's a great thing about the internet.
And has he been here?
No, his name's Angelo. So he's named after an angel. And apparently he told me his mother has lots of cupids or putai or cherubs, whatever you want to call them, in the house. So he had some three-dimensional reference points as well when he was designing the character. So it's quite appropriate. It has the name Angel. His name means angel, and his mother had a lot of models he could work with. So it was quite a nice... But he would love to come here, and I'm hoping one day...
And you haven't met yet?
Never met him, no. But I'm hoping one day I can meet up with him here, especially.
One of the advantages of having a web comic is that it doesn't only have to be visual. There are other elements as well. And I was intrigued to read that a musician for The Cure did the music for one of the episodes.
The last episode, yeah. I mean, for anyone, I've had The Cure in my bedroom or posters of The Cure for years. And I first got into them in Prague as a student, actually. Basically, I used to be in a band, and I have a lot of musician friends. I used to play guitar, and I've always been into ambient music and soundtrack music, or music generally. And when I write, I'm always listening to music when I write, and it's inspires me. And I decided that I wanted to have the website. It's a comic at the moment and a music, but I wanted it to be like my own little tribute to Prague. And I have some photography on there. There'll be more of that. And I decided, well, I've listened to so much music writing this, and I listen to so much music in Prague, and it's a very musical city. It would be great to have, for every issue of the comic, music to it, like a soundtrack that's optional. It's not something that comes on by choice, but you click on the right page. And I have lots of musician friends, so I basically talked to a few of them, and they thought it was a great idea. So the first three comics, I had friends who have bands or doing stuff. And then the fourth story was kind of was a reference to a Cure album, Disintegration, which is my favorite thing ever, not just music, my favorite piece of art. And the comic was looking nice. It was getting some feedback. The website looks nice. So I just thought the keyboardist has a solo career as well, doing ambient music. And I thought, I wonder if I could write him a letter and see what he'd say to contribute in something, because it'd be great to have someone from The Cure doing music for a comic involving The Cure. And I actually decided to send a snail mail, an actual letter rather than an email, and I sent him piles of artwork and ideas and explained it. And unbelievably, within like 4 days, I think he got back and said, yeah, it sounds interesting. And I didn't know, you know. And then he sent me a few samples and asked if, you know, should I? And I'm like, you do what you want to do, you know. And so that was great. So it's there. It's really nice. Some really nice ambient or soundtrack music. And it just gives the comic that extra thing. And I think, you know, some people have said to me, you know, I'm not into comics, but the music's nice. So that's been great. And it's been a dream come true to have someone from a band like that take the project seriously.
Okay, well, on that note, let me thank you for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
The Welsh writer James Stafford was talking to Jan Willinger in that edition of Art, which was first broadcast in August 2011.